I know everybody out there is very busy. They've got a lot of things going on in their life. I know I am. And I know we all need to work on prioritizing the things that the Lord would have us to do in this life. And that's what this sermon's about today. I've seen how fast my life has gone by, and now at this age that I'm at, it just goes faster and faster. And you hear that growing up, and it doesn't really dawn on you until you get older, and it's really true. And when you're a kid, things go by, seems like on a day by day basis, and you're looking forward to Christmas or a birthday or what have you, and it takes a long time to get there. It just takes forever. And you get to be in your 20s and 30s, and then life may go by on a week-to-week basis. What can I get done in this week? What can I get done in the next week? And you get maybe a little bit older, and then life goes by on a month-to-month basis. What can I get accomplished in this month? And all of a sudden, a month's over and done with. And and then it gets to be a year and a year, and I'm running out of time here. I've lived half my life, and it's just amazing how fast life goes by, and you really realize that, the Lord has given us just enough time in this life to prepare for the afterlife. And the older you get, the more you really realize that. But we've all got things to do, but we just need to be careful. We just need to make sure we prioritize these things in our life, and we're not neglecting the things that the Lord would have us to do. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. There are quite a few verses in Scripture about the shortness of life, and I wanted to go through some of those to start. 2 Samuel 14:14. So it says, "For we must needs die, and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again." A lot of these verses are really going to put things into perspective. Water spilt on the ground. You spill it on the ground, and it either evaporates, it's there for a period of time and it evaporates, or you can wipe it up. And that's the comparison that's used in this verse. Psalm 39:4-5, it says, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, verily, man in his best state is altogether vanity." So there's multiple things that these two verses tell us. It tells about the frailty of this life and how fragile it really is when it comes down to it. It says our hands are as a handbreadth. So, you can think of your life maybe from the bottom of your palm to the top of your fingers. And it uses the term vanity as a phrase for our life. So it really puts into perspective, the greatness of God as compared to us in this life. Why don't you turn your Bibles to Psalm 90, verses 1 through 12. It says, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as a watch in the night." So this is another one of those verses that really puts things in perspective. God is from everlasting to everlasting. But it says here, 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. That's how great our Lord is and our God is. "Thou carriest them away as with the flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. I was looking at these flowers up here when I got here today. They look like they're real to me. They're drinking water. And you can see that, you know, some of them have started to wilt and die. And they'll last a few weeks. You get a few weeks out of them. You know, they use that and they compare our life to the grass, to the flower. They say we spend our years as a tale that is told. You know, I think all the books that my children have in our house, a tale that you can open, go to the library, all the books on the shelves, you can open it up, take a look at it. You'll read through it. You know, hopefully it's a good book and you'll put it back. It says, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So on average, you know, it says here you might live to be 70. You know, people live a lot longer now than 70. And if by reason of strength they might be 80, which is 80 years. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. So, I don't want this, you know, my point here is to not say that your life is insignificant to the Lord, because it is not. It is just, we need to be aware of the great picture, and that our time on this world is limited. And it says here that we need to number our days. We need to consider the time we have in this life, and we need to consider what we're going to do with that time that the Father has given us. And if we do that, we will live our lives in wisdom. I've got some more verses. Psalm 103:14-16, it says, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." Like the grass, like the flower. I don't know if you've heard that song, "Dust in the Wind." Well, we do have a spiritual body, a soul, but our physical bodies are indeed dust. Job 7:6-7, it says, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. But remember that my life is wind, mine eyes shall no more see good." I didn't know what a weaver's shuttle is, so I had to do some research on the internet. And I know a lot of you that stitch and knit probably know what that is, a lot of the women, but I didn't know what it was. So I got on YouTube. I wanted to see what this was all about. Hopefully this will work. I'm not going to put the audio on, but she's holding the shuttle on her hand in this machine that she's using to make this weave. And look how fast she's gone. It just goes faster and faster. That's it. The weaver's shuttle. And that's a comparison that's used in that verse with regards to our life. James 4:13-15 says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." So we can't have plans for tomorrow, plans what we're going to do. But our life could end this day. I mean, we could get in a car wreck on the way home. We don't know how much time we have in this life. If it's the Lord's will, we will continue on and we will do additional things, but that may not be His will for you. A familiar verse, Alma 16, 228 to 230. I'll give you the page number. Page 430. It says, "For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, this day, the day of this life is the day of men to perform their labors. And now, as I said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you that ye do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh a night of darkness wherein there can be no labor performed." So, if we're going to make time for anything, this should be our number one priority, to make sure our lives are right with God. And we know how short our life is, and it tells us right here, if we don't take care of these things while in this life, then we're going to be out of luck. It says we're not going to be able to improve our time when the night of darkness cometh. This is our chance to take that time, that limited time that we have, and do with it what God would have us to do, repent of our sins, make that covenant with God, and to continue on in the faith. Examples of things we spend our time doing: working at our place of employment, our household chores, care of children, watching television or movies, surfing the internet, playing computer or video games, using our smartphones, other hobbies, spending time with friends. And each one of us has got a different balance of these things in our lives. Some of us are retired, some of us aren't. Some of us work part-time, some of us work full-time. Some of us have children that have moved out, some of us don't. We've all got a different balance of things. But with everything on our list, and I may not have included everything, that you do in your life, but we need to make sure why we're making the correct priority and we're doing those things God would have us to do. You know, I have a Kindle tablet, and I'll get on there for 10 minutes a day and I'll play this game I have. And that's something that helps me to relax. But I have to be careful that I'm not on that thing all the time, I'm not on my computer all the time. I'm not spending all my time doing those things that have no lasting value. And these things of themselves are not bad. We just need to be careful. Now, these are the things that I think we need to make sure we prioritize and we put at the top of our list. Family activities, spending time with children, church activities, reading scripture, praying. So do we have the right balance and prioritization of these things? And all these things, are we a witness for Christ? No matter what we do, we need to serve the Lord, even at our place of employment, as we watch our children, as we communicate with others. We need to do it as a witness for God. And you know, I'm learning more and more, and I have bad days and I have good days with regards to how I spend my time. I was thinking about yesterday. Yesterday I had a good day with regards to how I use my time. We woke up. I slept a little bit later than I should have, but I kind of needed to sleep. I went over to my sister's house. We were there for 3 hours. We had a good time. We came home. I worked on my sermon for a little bit. I talked to Kelly a little bit. Ate dinner. And then we watched a movie. We watched a Christmas movie. So I sat down with Lydia in the chair, and Kelly sat down on the couch with the other girls. And then when that was over, we put the girls to bed, and we watched TV for a little bit, 10, 15 minutes, and then I read my Book of Mormon a little bit. So that for me was a good day, because I took time I took time to read my scripture. I took time to, you know, with the family. I made sure that the things that are the, should be the top of priorities, I made sure that they were in the part of my day. And I'm not saying that to boast of myself, because, you know, more often than not, I fail in how I prioritize my time. So we have to be very careful. We have to make sure we're making times for these things that are important, because we saw how short our life is. And we need to make sure that when we come to the end of our life, that we don't have regrets. And I've heard people tell me before, you know, I wish I would have spent more time with my children. I wish I would have done more of this or that. And the time has passed, and they can't get that time back. I've got a bunch of graphs and surveys. I hope I don't bore you with this stuff. But this is one. This is from the Department of Labor. And this is a survey from 2012. I don't have a laser pointer, but I think you can see my mouse. It's the average American day, the average time Americans spent in daily activities in 2012. Got phone calls, 10 minutes. I think the number on the bottom, I believe, is 2011. The number on the top in bold is 2012. So they got a list of pretty much everything here. They got religious activities, 20 minutes, or 19 minutes. So, I meant to ask you for that, I forgot. Thanks. You just push a button here. Yeah. Don't point it at your eye. Okay, so, religious activities, it's got 20 minutes. So, I'm guessing they took a week and they divided up your time on Sunday for the average person, whatever that was, and they divided it by 7 days, and they came up with 20 minutes per day. So I hope for us it's higher. If we're reading our scripture, if we're praying, I hope our time's higher than 20 or 19 minutes. You know, this number varies. I know that there's some out there right now that are going to school, so this could be a lot greater for some people. Hour and 44 for household activities. Work-related activities, I had 3.5. I thought that was low, but if you're retired or if you're working part-time and you got the weekend, which you don't normally always work, I guess it averages out to 3 hours or 3.5 hours. Personal care, 45 minutes. Caring for household members, 31. But the ones I really wanted to focus on, there's a sleep over here. I don't want to talk about sleep. I need more sleep than what I get personally, but these are the guys that I want to talk about. Watching television, 2 hours and 50 minutes. Leisure, 2 hours and 32 minutes. That's the time that we can, you know, use as we best see fit, personally. A lot of these other things are just, it's just the way it is, and we can't really do anything about it. So I wanted to talk about this stuff. There's another survey. This is a Bureau of Labor Statistics 2012 American Time Use Survey. They've got this pie chart. And the previous slide had about 5 hours total for television time and leisure time, and that's about what this pie chart has here. Yeah, total leisure and sports time, 5 hours. Watching TV, again, it's about 2.5 hours, 2.7 hours. Relaxing, thinking, 17 minutes. Playing games, 25 minutes. Participating in sports, 19 minutes. Reading, 18 minutes. Socializing and commuting, 38 minutes. So if you take the 5 hours and multiply it by 365 days, you get 1,825 hours per year, how much the average American spends. watching TV and using their leisure time. So that's a lot of time. This is a bar graph that I found. It shows the years 2010, 2011, and 2012. And the light blue is the time spent web browsing. And you can see that that's been pretty steady from year to year. It's got 70 minutes, 2010, 72 minutes, 2011, 70 minutes, 2012. So the time we spent on the internet, browsing the internet, has been about a constant. I'm going to go up to TV. 162 minutes. So that's about that 2.5 hours we saw. That's 2010, 162. 2011, 168, and you can't see that on the sim. It's also 168 for 2012, so that's been a constant. But you can see we've got the bars in green. This is the mobile applications on your tablet or on your smartphone. And you can see that this is increased. 2010, it said 66 minutes spent with the mobile application. 2011, jumped up to 94 minutes. 2012 to 127 minutes. I was like, where is this time coming from? So these smartphones that we have, these tablets that we have, you can see how much time they've taken in our lives. And you know, we do use these things for good purposes. We may, you know, text people and our family and our friends, you know, and use them for good. But we may also use them for things that aren't bad, but maybe we need to find a different balance in our lives. Maybe there's something, a better ways we can be spending our time rather than playing a game or doing whatever on our smartphone. So I don't know what's going to happen here, if it's going to continue to increase from year to year. I mean, it seems like eventually things would just saturate and you wouldn't have time to do this anymore. And I suppose a lot of these hours are, you know, when you're at work. You know, people use their smartphones at work, and so that's part of that. That's probably a lot of this. So I had some more thoughts. Are we living our lives, or are we watching other people live their lives? And sometimes I'll think about this if I'm watching television or if I'm watching a football game. You know, you spend a whole day watching football and learning about this football player, that football player, and you learn, you know, reading about somebody or this and that. And these, again, these things aren't bad things, but what are we doing with our life? Are we going around and are we watching other people live their lives and learning about them? And we're not doing anything with our life? You know, God has a plan for us, and He wants us to get things done that He would have us to do. Do we ever turn off the noise and do something productive with our time? There was a Sunday a couple weeks ago. We had football on. We were watching the Colts, I think, and the football game was over, and we turned the TV off. And it was just so refreshing just to turn the TV off on that Sunday and have it be quiet. We've got all the noise, and I thought about the Grinch. You've seen that movie, The Grinch That Stole Christmas? It says, all the noise, 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 I can't stand it. And I don't know, maybe there's some wisdom there with the Grinch, I don't know. How are we going to hear the still small voice of the Holy Ghost when we're focused on so many other things? You know, if we've got the television on all the time, if we're doing all these other things, and we don't take time with the Lord, if we don't take time to pray, if we're not listening for His voice, but we're listening for our television or this and that, how are we going to be prepared in these last days, in these end days, if we're not listening to God? He wants to direct our lives, and He wants to give us direction, but we have to be listening. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. So we just need to take time to be still. And this could be as you're driving to work, or you're working in your yard or in your home. You know, you just need to just think about God, and you need to pray every opportunity you have. And just focus on Him. Turn the radio off if you need to sometimes. You know, sometimes I get those sermons on CD, and I put them in my car. I've got the boxes of them in my car. I listen to them as I drive to work. Not all the time, but a lot of the time. But sometimes I'm not focusing on even the sermon, and it's just audio coming through the speakers, and I just need to turn it off and take care of those things that I need to pray for in my life and spend time with God. So again, does what I am doing have eternal value? Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 2, 4 through 11. I want to talk about our priorities some more. Ecclesiastes 2, 4 to 11. You know, we were talking about joy in Sunday school today, and there's things that we do, and you know, God says men are that they might have joy. We can have joy in those things that God has given us in life. You know, working around the home, working outside, taking care of our house, taking care of our children. You know, satisfaction is a good thing. But we need to make sure that they don't take our lives over and we don't look for them as a replacement for what God offers. So Ecclesiastes 2, 4 to 11, it says, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens. I had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers, and the delight of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was a portion of all my labor. Then I looked in all the works that my hands had wrought, and all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there is no profit under the sun. So there is a degree of vanity in some of the things we do. And we just need to make sure that we're not spending all our time and looking to these things in this world for a source of enjoyment that would, you know, like I said, take away from God and that would turn us from God. There's things that can take over the time that we would spend with our family, the times that we would spend reading our Bibles or praying. When you know, we don't need to be spending so much time doing these other things. You know, I think I used this example before. I used to do a lot of landscaping on my house after we bought it. And if I could get that time back, I would take some of it back. We just need to be careful. Daniel 12:4 says, But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And that's what we're seeing in our time with the information age, with the internet. There's all kinds of knowledge out there and worldly wisdom. Are we just going to absorb it all the time and not use it for any good purpose, but you know, just go out there and read it and just find that we're wasting our time doing it? So in this information age, a little information used wisely is more value than too much information that we use without purpose or with a lasting value. You know, we're bombarded with information. And just because it's information and knowledge doesn't mean that it's worth spending our time learning about. Second Timothy 3, 1 through 7. if this sermon's not for you, you know, it's for me. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 7 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And it's that last verse, ever learning. You know, we're learning about different things. But are we coming to the knowledge of the truth? You know, that truth that God gives us. We need to focus on His truth, on His word, on praying. Just because we're learning doesn't mean we're going to come to the absolute truth. You know, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Let's turn to Luke 10, 38 to 42. This is with regards to Mary and Martha and their visit with Jesus. It says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her.'" So Martha had an opportunity to sit down at the feet of Jesus and listen to what he would say. But she was focusing on taking care of other things, of serving, you know, taking care of the food. And it's not that we don't need to take time to do these things, but we need to be careful. It's not just, you know, serving food. Are we taking time to spend with the Lord and not giving all our time to other things? Luke 14:16-24. You know, this one really hits the nail on the head, I think. It says, "Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused." So he made a priority, doing what he needed to do with his land, taking care of it. And he put those things before God. Verse 19, it said, "And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So the Lord takes first place in our life over everything. You know, even sometimes we might have to take time out for God, even before the family. Verse 21, "So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." So the ones that were bidden, that didn't take time to get their lives right with God, that took time for the other things, those other things were their first priority in life. They should have been moved down the list. There are two areas I want to focus on reading our scripture. This is a picture of the Bible. I don't think you can really see it. But it's covered with dust, and somebody took their finger and they wrote, "Read me" on it. You know, I can remember times in the past, not anymore, but since I'm, you know, preparing for sermons, what have you, but I can remember years ago, I pull out my Bible and it would have some dust on it. A sign: dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives. So if we're not reading our scripture, if we're not familiar with scripture, you know, there's some truth in that. Another survey: state of the Bible in 2013. What do Americans believe about the Bible? What role does it play in their lives? On behalf of American Bible Society, the Barna Group studied the beliefs and behaviors of U.S. adults. Here are the findings. It says 61% wish they read the Bible more. 80% say the Bible is sacred. 88% own a Bible. I was kind of surprised about the 61%. I thought that would be lower. Maybe I'm just being pessimistic. But it says 61% wish they read the Bible more. "77% believe the values and morals of America are declining, with the main culprits being 32% lack of Bible reading, 29% negative influence of media, and 25% corruption from corporate greed." So I think there's more to the story than this, you know. But 32% think that our morals are declining as a result of not reading the Bible, and there's a lot of truth to that. And our Book of Mormon, of course. The influence of the all-time bestseller is losing ground. It's got columns for 2011, 2012, 2013. It says, in 2011, 86% of the people believe that the Bible is sacred literature. 2012, 82%. 2013, 80%. So it's going down. I thought that number would be lower too, but the point is that it's going down. I'm going to skip the next row. The third row down: Bible contains everything a person needs to live a meaningful life. That one is going down as well, from 75% in 2011 to 66% in 2013. You know, people are looking for other things. The last row, 67% 2011 wish they read the Bible more, and that's down to 61% in 2013. That we saw on that first chart. Here's another survey from Lifeway. This was from September 7th, 2012. It says, in a fresh study of Bible engagement released yesterday, Lifeway Research surveyed more than 2,900 Protestant churchgoers and found that while 90% desire to please and honor Jesus in all I do, only 19% personally read the Bible every day. So it's about one-fifth. So I hope we do a better job than what this survey came up with. Why should we bother to read Scripture? You know, what if you've made a covenant with God, if you've been united with the Church of Christ in baptism? You know, the Book of Mormon says all is not done. We need to continue on. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17, another familiar verse. It says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So we're just not supposed to forget about them. We're supposed to continue in the things that we were learned. And Jesus said that the Holy Ghost would bring those things back into our remembrance, those things that we have been taught. We need to take time to read So these things are in the back of our head, and the Holy Ghost can bring those things to our attention. And that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So it says, which are able to make thee wise. They're going to make us wise through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we need that correcting hand in our life. And if we're going to endure to the end and not fall away, we need to take time to read our Scriptures and to plant these things in our mind so we don't forget and we don't take ourselves off of that straight and narrow path. 1 Nephi 4:38-42. Page 45. It says, and they said unto me, what meaneth the rod of iron which our father saw that led to the tree? And I said unto them that it was the word of God, and whoso would hearken unto the word of God and would hold fast unto it, they would never perish. Neither could the temptations and the fiery darts of the adversary overpower them unto blindness and lead them away to destruction. Wherefore I, Nephi, did exhort them to give heed unto the word of the Lord. Yea, I did exhort them with all the energies of my soul and with all the faculty which I possess, that they would give heed to the word of God and remember to keep his commandments always in all things. So we need to hold on to the word of God that we don't fall away, come off of that straight and narrow path. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So how are we going to keep the commandments if we don't spend time reading about those commandments? Can we say we love God? Next thing I wanted to talk about was prayer. How much time do we pray? Enos 1:1-7. Another familiar story, verse 194. It said, behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language, and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And blessed be the name of my God for it. And I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God, before that I received a remission of my sins. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I have often heard my father speak concerning eternal life, and the joy of the saints, and the words of my father sunk deep into my heart. And my soul hungered, and I kneeled down before my Maker, and cried unto him a mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul. And all the day long did I cry unto him, yea, when the night came, I did still raise my voice high that it reached the heavens. And there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. So this Enos took the whole day to pray. And even when the night came, he kept praying. And the Lord answered his prayer, because he took time out of the day to do this. You know, how many times do we take a whole day to pray? Alma 16:2:19-2:22. This is page 429, another familiar passage. It says, yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him, crying to him when you are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks, crying to him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, crying to him against the power of your enemies, yea, crying to him against the devil, which is an enemy to all righteousness. So it says morning, midday, and evening. Crying to him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that they may increase. But this is not all. You must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those that are around you. So we've got temporal things in our life, and the Lord wants to help us with those things. But the Lord expects us to pray. First Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. You know, right to the point. Pray without ceasing. Never stop. So this is my last slide. I didn't talk so much about spending time with the family, but it's very important. Make sure you're doing these things. You're reading your scripture often. You know, it's so important, it seems so obvious, but we don't do it enough. Praying often. You know, there is a lot of value to prayer. Spending time with family, make sure you do that, because you might regret it someday if you don't. Being involved at church, doing those things God has called you to do. I believe that God has a plan for every person in here. He's got something he wants you to do. You know, maybe it's, you know, praying for others around you. Maybe it's a specific service in the church. He's called every one of us to do something. We need to turn off the noise from time to time and take time to unplug. So let's not get caught up in the things of the world and live our lives as being, you know, eyes staring at whatever that may be, the television or your smartphone, and you just have no time for nothing else. You need to listen for that still small voice. You know, we not only need to pray, but when we pray, we need to listen. And like I said, avoid future regrets. You know, you may have some temporal regrets when you come to the end of your life, things you wish you did more of with your time, but are you going to have any spiritual regrets? And that's the worst regret of all. So that's all I have. I thank you for your time. I hope that was helpful. I know a lot of these things that I need to work on myself, but we need to make sure that we find the right balance.